With our Bibles open again to John chapter 1, we continue now in our third part of the study of the incarnation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Find your place, John 1, verse 14, and we'll read the scriptures right after a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of preaching the Word of God, a heavy responsibility, a divine calling, Lord, that I take serious. I pray now that I would speak the Word before God in Christ. Lord, in sincerity, in simplicity, for the glory of God alone. Lord, use us now as an instrument in your hands. Lord, set my heart on fire. May the Word of God be as a fire shut up in my bones. May it be as barbs and arrows of conviction that penetrate, and Lord, as a sword, two-edged sword piercing the hearts of the hearers, Lord, dividing men asunder, drawing sinners to Christ, encouraging and stirring up the saints and servants of the Lord. Lord, thank you. And Father, we love you, all because of the Lord Jesus, the dear Lamb of God. And it is in Jesus' name I pray now. Amen and amen. We've looked at the birth of Christ, as recorded by Matthew, Emmanuel, God with us. We looked into John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. We saw that the birth of Jesus Christ was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of God. But at his birth, true life, true light, and true love came down. And let me give you now, before we get into the study, the words of John 1 and verse 14. Speaking of Jesus, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so I look here in my Bible, and I have an outline pinned down that I took from my pastor of days gone by, Brother James Jones, Jr., as he preached on the incarnation there at our church. He said that God could and did become a human person. God had to take on human infirmities. God had to take on human pain. He took on the nature of a man. Number two, the eternal Word could and did appear in human form. Number three, the Creator could and did appear in a created body. What a miracle! God became man. The Word was made flesh. Now, the incarnation is an absolute must. We could never be saved apart from the virgin birth. For if Christ was a sinner in his nature and actions, then he could not have ever been the Savior. God demanded a pure and spotless sacrifice. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ did no sin. He knew no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. Yea, he was manifested to take away our sins, borrowing from the words of Peter upon this dear subject to the believer, the precious blood of Christ. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So it was then at his birth, it was at his crucifixion upon the cross, it was there on the mercy seat in heaven where he applied this precious blood, and it still is today the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God without blemish, without spot, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, who was manifested in the incarnation in these last times for us, that we who are sinners might have a wonderful and able and worthy eternal Savior, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the incarnation is an absolute must, and it stirs our heart, and it cheers our heart. But we could never be saved if it was only for his birth. And so, the Lord willing, before we're through this study, we will emphasize the cross of Christ, the gospel of his death and burial and resurrection is the power of God unto salvation. We are saved by his cross and not by his crib. The fact of the cross of Christ is a declaration that all have sinned and that Christ Jesus is the only Savior of men. But the blessing of Jesus Christ, the very Word of God. Take with me now one more look at the incarnation, the miracle of the Word. John 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. How did this happen? The Word, the eternal Word of God, became flesh and body, became a man through the miracle of a virgin birth. The impossible, a virgin girl giving birth to a baby, was possible with God. With men, impossible. With God, easy. God talked about it. He prophesied it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The prophet Isaiah echoed it. He talked about it. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. The evangelist Matthew talked about it in its fulfillment. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Dr. Luke talked about it. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The beloved John, the apostle of love, talks about it here. The apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, talked about it in Galatians 4, verse number 4. The miracle of the Word becoming flesh. But the Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The tabernacle of the Word. The Greek word here translated as dwelt in our English Bible, the beloved King James Version, means to tent or encamp. It means in a figurative way to occupy as, say, a mansion, or in a special way to reside. Even as God resided in the tabernacle of the Old Testament, a symbol of protection and communion. What a word picture. It involves the tabernacle then. Just as God chose to abide with his people by filling the tabernacle with the presence and glory of God, so God now chose to abide and dwell among men in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say that God's beloved Son pitched a tent and dwelt among us. The Old Testament tabernacle, it was glorious within. It was plain without. On the outside was nothing to be desired, but on the inside was something to behold. Even so Christ, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, he veiled his infinite glory. From without, he looked like you. He looked like me. He looked like any other Jewish man. However, from within, he was not like any other man. For he was sinless, perfect, pure, spotless, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. God met with man in the tabernacle. For here is the place where the altar was, where the sacrifices were made, where the blood was shed, even so it is with Christ. He died upon the altar, upon Calvary's cross, as the sacrifice, even the Lamb of God. His blood was shed, and he is the final sacrifice, the one offering for sins forever. And he is now set down at the right hand of God the Father as the God-man, as the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, if man would meet with God, he must go to the tabernacle. Now, if a man would meet with God, he must go to the Lord Jesus Christ if he expects to get to the Father. He tabernacled among us because he loved us so. The miracle of the Word, the tabernacle of the Word, but then the glory of the Word. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word glory here means majesty. It means dignity. It means splendor. We beheld, John says. There is here a glorious sight. We looked upon Christ and we saw his glory. Jesus, as through the tent door, allowed his glory to shine through at times for the people to see. Peter said that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. Both John and Peter, no doubt, are referring to the Mount of Transfiguration. We beheld his glory, a glorious sight, a glorious sonship, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Christ is the only Son of God in this sense. He is God's only Son, and his name is Jesus. We become the sons of God by spiritual birth, but Jesus never had to become the Son of God, for he is the eternal Son of God. He always has been, and he always will be, the Son of God and God the Son. The only begotten speaks of the relationship between the Father and the Son. It is unique. It is eternal. The Father has but one Son in the sense that Jesus is the Son of God. But praise his name, the Lord has many children. Galatians 3:26. Yea, all who come to Jesus are the children of God through Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know the eternal Word of God? There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Except you believe that Jesus Christ is God, ye shall die in your sins. Trust Him today, for He is full of grace and truth.